The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And our blitzes are brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. I know that you and Carl touched on this yesterday as far as the TV ratings, because it was the most streamed football game, most streamed thing ever, and that was Netflix taking the NFL. They paid big money for it. They had the Beyonce show at halftime. By the way, what do you think of it?
It was fine.
I mean,
it's fine. I'm being partial.
I'm not in the demographic anymore for pop music.
All the women folks at my house, they called it the Beyonce Bowl.
Right. So, and that's what they were calling on TV.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was entertaining.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's not like I don't appreciate Beyonce's goodness. It's, you know, I like hard rock and roll, but you're not going to see. They're not bringing Metallica to play the Netflix halftime show.
No, they're not.
You know, or Guns N' Roses for that matter. But I thought. The great job, you know. Some folks, you know, could take it or leave it. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
She was awesome.
Yeah,
I thought she was awesome. Actually.
And the numbers were huge.
Yeah,
right.
It peaked out at what I think it said 27 mil when she came on.
That's correct.
And so,
and the game was crap because the Ravens were just smoking the Texans.
Awful.
They couldn't get anything going. Texans only could muster was a safety.
Both games sucked. Both games were awful.
Steelers didn't bring their A game.
Yeah, both games are.
So bad NFL trumps great NBA, basically, in a nutshell. But we knew that. But I read some of these articles, and look, Nielsen said there were 65 million people that were watching, you know, the football. The I think it was about 24 million on average. For both the Chiefs, as you said, Randy, not great games. Chiefs and Steelers, Texans and Ravens. And then the NBA, their numbers were up, but of course it's basically still just over a quarter of what the NFL did, but it's up on a high for Christmas the last 5 years. But LeBron's got to pipe down LeBron, the NFL just eats anything they want for breakfast.
But I think the biggest thing with it was is that their game was the best. Well, I don't know, because you got to see Wimby early on in the day going to the Garden. And obviously you get to see Joker and him close it out. But then you got, in my opinion, still the two
biggest draws.
Yeah, and Steph and Braun. And that was a great damn great basketball game and everything like that. But, yeah, this is just – and we were talking – you let somebody stream come in and get, say – we'll give you $100 million for a game on Tuesday. You don't think Roger Goodell is going to be like,
heck yeah.
All right.
Now, what did you think? I know I got to hear you, some of you with Andy Randy last week, but still, player safety? Can we just stop with this?
Oh, no.
Stop with player safety.
Oh,
stop
yeah.
with this ridiculous kickoffs when you got three games being played in 11 days.
I played 3 and 12, and it's a bear. And for you tell me that, and that's one reason why we talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike. You lost three damn games in 11 days.
<You know>? That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. But, I mean, the biggest thing, especially this late in the year when you're talking about 3-11, you know, three games in 11 days this late in the year, can come in off until December when your body is as beat up as it's going to be. Yeah, don't tell me about player safety. It's all about that bread.
It's about the dollars,
baby. It's all about that bread.
Hey, man, some blitz. We'll run around some of the bigger injuries because, again, for fantasy football owners, this is the championship for most leagues.
Okay.
So this is one where, you know, you want to make sure your team – first, if you got guys playing, it's in a meaningful game because some of these games, you know, you just don't – I've been sort of just living and dying with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals because it's feast or famine.
Yeah.
Never got Marvin Harrison Jr. in the game.
Never.
All season long, save for maybe one or two. So I'm sitting his butt. So then it comes down to Brock Purdy or Sam Darnold.
Well, you got Brock Purdy going against
the Lions. Monday night. Should be a high-scoring game against that Lions banged-up defense.
But I'm still going to go with
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Sam.
Because you still got, you know, and Debo's been terrible. He just came out of a slump.
Yeah,
so just don't see all the weapons. Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking for. Thanks for the affirmation.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts is still in the concussion protocol. That means Kenny Two Gloves Pickett would be in there for the Eagles.
What the hell were they thinking last week in Washington trying to make Kenny Pickett be Jalen Hurts? This dude, and now he made some nice runs, don't get me wrong, but I still think this game, I still think the Eagles run away with it if Jalen's healthy and everything.
Right.
And then all you got to do, Devontae Smith catches the ball, game's over. He catches the ball. I mean, the game's pretty much over and everything, but I don't want to take any, you know, take anything away from Washington in that game. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to rely on the defense. Obviously, those guys are playing a lot better. And then Saquon, I mean, he's right there as far as where he wants to be, is, you know, breaking ED's record. Eric Dickerson, who has come out today and said, hell no, I ain't rooting for him to break my record. And so ED's like, no.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I mean, I'd rather see him say it that way than see that Mark Gastineau mess of a thing. But he's.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going after Brett Favre. You lay down, you owe me a sack. At least he's having some fun with it.
Hey, man, ain't you supposed to be getting ready for
Hey, guys, here at the bar. Guys, give it up for Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, he is basically here at the bar. He is not even practicing.
Yeah,
what the heck's going on over here,
man? Getting ready for Sunday night.
What the hell, Kyle Pitts? Just be at practice, man.
But
what's up, Joe? Should be on a plane to, like, D.C. or something. No, that's one of our loyal listeners who, by the way, it's your tax dollars at work. He's off the clock. But a proud letter carrier. And a good dude, but we always say that's Kyle Pitts Jr. And we'll talk more about Pitts coming up later in the show. So the Buccaneers get Carolina at home. Can Carolina shock the world and give us some breathing room for this division? Because there are a bunch of Buccaneers banged up in this game. The tight end, Cade Otton, is out. Antoine Winfield, Sterling Shepard also out for the Bucs.
Yeah, they're out right now. And the Carolina, I mean, they played good last week. That was a hell of a football game that they played previous, and it was a good bounce back for the young quarterback because he was awful the weekend before, just fumbling and everything like that. I mean, they're playing better. That's all I say. They're playing better than they were. Talking about Carolina trying to get that momentum. Obviously, their quarterback, Bryce Young, it seems like he's solidified at least to go into next year as the starter. Unopposed, probably, Mike.
Right.
Yeah, he's our guy, probably, type conversation.
And Canales, the owner tried to run things and bench the quarterback, but at the end of the day, he's finally coming around. Do you feel, and here's, we didn't even mention this one because there's really no reason to mention it because it was, if you thought the Falcons were awful that Monday night game against the Raiders, that Bears game last night with the Seahawks, that's got to be the worst thing the NFL's put on TV this year.
It was awful. I mean, 6'3", the young quarterback. I mean, he made some nice throws, but it seemed like every time the throw, it was a penalty or something like that. And Geno and Seattle, I don't know what to make of them.
I think Geno gets you to a point, but I think he's going to choke in the big moments in the playoffs.
But they got too much talent for that. They got receivers.
DK, and Metcalf's crying. He's crying.
He wants to fight everybody. He's a big dude. Got all the muscles coming out his earlobes, and he can ball. But his biggest frustration is that they're not getting him the ball like he used to,
right?
And so now
that's wide receiver 101, isn't
he? He's frustrated. He headbutted Stevenson yesterday. Just two minutes. I like when they went to his coach. He said, just take a deep breath.
Everything's okay.
I said, what are you going to tell your star wide receiver? Just take a deep breath.
Right.
And reset.
Had him on my fantasy team, too. Bench. That guy, same thing. But I understand where I'm frustrated for DK. But you can't be doing those things on the sideline.
Those sound like selfish selfish intent over there, Mike.
Enough about you. Let me tell you about my fantasy team in the championship. And by the way, do you feel that with the right OC, and the Bears blew it, they should have just fired Eberflus and brought in an offensive-minded coach, should have thrown all that money at, what's his name, from the Lions,
Ben Johnson.
And gotten him. But what do you think about where Caleb, you see some moments where he scrambles, he's elusive, he makes the big throw, and there's other moments where you just say, man, is this first season going to screw him up so bad, or is this guy going to be able to rebound and be the guy they expect him to be?
Well, you see, he has ability. I mean, Mike, he's the kid. But his biggest thing, and I thought Thomas did a better job with this when he first took over the play calling dudes and everything like that, he gave him no choice reads,
right.
Meaning you have to throw it right here. he holds onto the damn ball too long.
So a good quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator can get him right.
Yeah, he hangs on the ball. This ain't USC, dude. It ain't. I know it's a lot of fun, and you're running around, turning your back to the defense, and whooping and whirling and whirling. It ain't going to work here, bro. It don't work at that level, man. So, but I think he has all the ability. My thing is, like, does Ben Johnson want to be a head coach?
Well, last year he wouldn't get off the porch.
Right.
Like, remember, you got to go.
Yeah.
Got to leave the nest.
Yeah.
Fly away and get the gig. But, yeah, he didn't want to take that unless he's looking for the perfect situation. I think at some point you missed that window of opportunity. You're no longer the hot commodity. And this year, you know, Goff, if not for what the other guys we mentioned, Josh Allen is doing along certainly with Lamar Jackson, Goff could be an MVP.
He could be. And so, I mean, but that's the cool thing about it is when – remember everybody's, this young play caller from Houston.
Look, we actually interviewed him here.
Yes. Remember him?
Right. And C.J. Stroud took a sophomore jinx.
Yes. They were talking about taking play calls away from Florida. It's my ex, Miko, at a press conference.
Right.
Is he still going to call plays? Yeah, he's still going to be the play caller. So, yeah, but Ben Johnson, I love his creativity. My always thing is this. Hiring a head coach for the quarterback is always dangerous.
Right.
Because what about the other? What about all the other aspects of that football team? So, we'll see.